You are listening to Legion of Substitute Podcasters, episode 488, The Superboy Chronicles, The Man Who Kidnapped Nature. And welcome to episode 488 of Legion of Substitute Podcasters. I'm Paul French, and I am stuck without an internet connection, lad. So therefore, I was unable to get this episode recorded with the guys. But I'm hopeful to be connected at some point so that it can be posted early Monday. It'll be early-ish. All right, so this one is looking at Superboy, our New Adventures of Superboy, number 25. On the cover of this one, Superboy is punching a hippie and knocking. He says, great stars, I've knocked his head off. And the guy says, now that I've found out that you're not human, or now you've found out I'm not human, the penalty is death. And it is touted as a 27-page second anniversary blockbuster, The Man Who Kidnapped Nature. All right, so we get the splash panel, or the splash page, and it is Superboy climbing over a bunch of old artifacts with Lana in the background ushering Ma and Pa Kent into some sort of space warp. And in front of Superboy is what looks like a bizarro Dr. Fate. And when I say that, what it is basically it is Dr. Fate's costume just in reverse colors. So what is usually yellow is blue. So the cape, briefs, boots, helmets, gloves are all in blue, and the rest of the costume is in yellow. But the interesting thing with the helmet is it has the addition of Spider-Man eyes. All right, so he says, I've ordered the Kents banished into the realm of oblivion, Superboy. You shall never see them again, and unless you leave the Earth as I command, all your friends will join them. This story is brought to us... Oh, his name is Dr. Chaos. Oh, that makes sense. See, the Chaos and Order thing. And it'll make more sense in just a moment. But it says, his name is Dr. Chaos, an evil and awesomely powerful sorcerer who seeks to exile Superboy from our world. Forever, for that is the ransom demanded by the man who kidnapped nature. Guest writer is Marty Pasco, who is no stranger to writing about Dr. Fate. You know, he did one of the early miniseries, well, not early in Dr. Fate's career, but, you know, one of the, in sort of the Dr. Fate Renaissance, he wrote the first of the miniseries with Giffen. And so, and when I say what's significant about that is that's the era in which Naboo became a Lord of Order. So, all right. The class, the Smallville High World History class is gathering at the Smallville Museum for a field trip, and Clark doesn't seem to be there. It turns out that he's actually off about 100 miles north helping out with a forest fire that is advancing on a sawmill. So he grabs a couple of blades, clear-cuts some trees, and uses them to create a sluice from the lake and sort of like literally dig through. And so he says what he's doing is he's giving that fire less fuel with which to work. I guess most of it's going to get cut down anyway. And so then he digs this sluice from the lake basically to have the water when the fire reaches the water in this ravine, it'll be stopped cold. And so, with a job well done, he heads back to the museum where Professor Lang is just being introduced, and he's going to be the guest speaker. And so they're ready to, you know, take notes. And Lana seems bored by the whole thing because, of course, she's already heard about Dad's expedition. Besides, when you've seen one Pleistocene. Relic, you've seen them all. And Pete says, I wouldn't be so blasé if my father was an archaeologist always coming back from exciting places. And she said, "Easy for you to say, Pete Ross. Your living room doesn't look like the set for The Mummy Creeps." And then she sees the hippie that we saw on the cover, who was actually in the background when Professor Lang was being introduced. And she's like, "I don't know what that is or where it came from, but I want it." Wow, that's creepy, Lana. And Clark says, "That is a Bert Belker. I'm surprised you haven't met him. He's one of your dad's assistants." "What? I didn't know you had a thing for freaks, Lana." "Oh, square Clark." She says, "I don't care if he trashes the ROTC building. He's a hunk." "A college guy. Big freaking deal," says Pete. "What's he got that I don't have?" This is Bash. Bashford is the one who asks that. And she says, "Aside from brains, good looks, a driver's license, and probably more money to spend on a date than $1.97, nothing, Bash." And Clark's thinking, "I bet every boy in this class, every guy in this class envies Bert right now. But if anyone has a right to feel jealous, it's me. After all, it's Superboy Lana says she's interested in. Still, I can't blame her for looking around. With my busy schedule, it sometimes seems hopeless that Lana and I will ever get it together." Professor Lang is holding on to the Sumerian headdress, which is basically like the Dr. Fate helmet with the Spider-Man eyes on it, and the blue version of this is the blue Dr. Fate helmet. And he says, "Belker, tell the students how we found this Sumerian headdress." And he says, "It was in what was once the Valley of Ur. Among the ruins of an ancient temple. It was a total mystery to us, and he's dug it up." He says, "Look, Professor, some kind of helmet. It's encrusted with metallic debris." And he says, "Odd, it's unlike any of the Sumerians' other handiwork." And he says, "We can only guess at the significance of this helmet. Most likely a Sumerian priest wore it during some religious ritual. As you can see, it was designed for an adult male head." And he starts to put it on, because, you know, like you do. No sooner has a strange azure cowl settled on the young man's shoulders than his behavior undergoes a startling change. "At last I live again. I see, I hear, I feel again. And soon, when I have completely dominated this host body, I will rule again." He says, "Belker, of all the ridiculous juvenile, stop this now." And he says, "As I did in the time beyond memory." "Oh, take it easy, Dad. He's just goofing off a little, that's all," says Lana. Everyone's thinking, "It's pretty funny, haha." And Clark says, "Is it? According to my X-ray vision, Bert's not exactly laughing. That blank stare, like he's been hypnotized. Uh-oh, he's heading for the roof. And he could, hang on, I just had a little bit of a scrolling issue here. And he could get himself into trouble up there. So a little heat vision applied to the automatic sprinkler system in the ceiling to make its heat sensors think there's a fire. And it's an instant evacuation time. Time for me to make a super switch. Eek, my brand new blouse soaked. The sprinkler's malfunctioned. Oh, can anything else go wrong today? I think yes. So he gets up to Superboy gets up to the roof, and he sees Belker with the helmet, and he says, "I can feel that my eldritch energies go stronger." "All right, Bert," says Superboy. "Fun time's over. If this is just a prank, it's wearing a bit thin." He says, "What's this? A flying boy? A sorcerer's apprentice? No matter. You pose no threat to me, stripling." It says, "You dare raise your hand against one such as me?" And he says, "Not yet, I don't. But if you're going to give me a hard time, I may change my mind." And he picks up, Belker. And he says, "That's right, nothing personal. You understand, Bert. It's just like I said, you're beginning to bore me." And he takes the helmet off him, and Bert seems confused. He says, "Sorry, Superboy, just fooling around. Guess I got carried away." And Superboy says, "In more ways than one," as he carries him down. He says, "I'd like to believe him, but I'm getting a bad feeling about this." "Superboy," says Professor Lang, "thank heaven." I imagine you saw the commotion with your supervision, eh, Superboy? He says, I don't know what got into Belker. He's always been such a mature, responsible young man. Everybody needs to blow it off steam once in a while, Professor, says Superboy. Bert just picked the wrong time to do it, and he passes the helmet back. He says, I suggest you keep that helmet under tight security as long as it's on display, so it doesn't inspire any more pranks. He says, definitely, and thanks again. He says, by the way, you can go back inside now. I repaired the sprinkler system and cleaned up the mess. It was just a faulty wiring problem. Seconds later, Lana is saying, oh, Clark, before I forget, I can't study with you tomorrow night. Something's come up. And she says, and Clark's thinking, I'll bet it has. Namely, a date with Bert Belker. Funny, all of a sudden, I'm becoming the jealous type. But could Lana see her new attraction in his college dorm room that night? She might have second thoughts. She might even wonder if he isn't a bit disturbed. And he's waking up, freaking out, and his roommate's kind of like, what's going on? He's like, no, leave me alone. He says, Bert, what's the matter? Come on, snap out of it. And he says, oh, forget it. I'm okay. It was just a dream. Some guy in that helmet ordered me to do stuff. Weird, man. So we get further in, and we're at the drive-in, where they're off to see a movie. Yeah, that's right. It's called I Married a Caterpillar from Venus. And Lana's thinking, boy, I sure know how to pick him. It's unbelievable. He takes me to a drive-in movie, and he actually watches the movie. If we were sitting further apart, I need a messenger to pass him the popcorn. I'm getting a real Marty McFly's vibe off Lana here. Suddenly, insanely, he starts taking off. Must take you home, and she's like, Bert, what are you doing? The movie isn't even half over, and like he just like tears away and tears out the speaker, because it's back in the days where you used to have the little speaker that clipped onto the side of the car. He says, must go. Something I must do. She says, then stop the car. I'll get my own ride home. I don't believe this guy. Biggest flake I've ever seen. And he says, good night. And he squeals off. And she says, good night yourself, creep. And he's in a hypnotic state again. And there's the words, come, Burton Belker. Join with me. Let us finish what we started. And he says, yes, master. I come. And he gets home and he smashes a mirror. He smashes a display case. It's come, Belker, come. And he says, soon now, master, soon. And he's picking up the helmet, and it says, ignore the alarm, my son. No one can stop us, not anymore. And he says, no one anymore. Freeze, punk, put that thing down now. And he says, no, lower your weapon at once, human, lower it. And the guard's got a gun trained on him. And he says, you do not comply. You do not obey promptly. That displeases me. And kind of blows him away with some energy. If he'd had another chance, the guard would know better than to resist the will of the man he met tonight. However, the matter is now entirely academic. We just see he's been turned into some sort of fish. He says, the guard is no longer capable of independent thought. Or some kind of lizard, I guess. And he says, now at last, I have achieved completion. Now chaos reigns. Soon the forces of life and order and all that which ordains the scurvy life upon this miserable globe shall bend to my will. And he's in the full costume now. Sometime later, Lana is... she's got the shoes in the hand and is wandering down the side of the street, and she's like, college jerk, who does he think he is? Just because he's got brains, good looks, a driver's license, and money doesn't mean he can. And Belker comes by. Hey, babe, you look like someone owes you an apology, and I think it's me. I'm sorry I acted so crazy, really. She says, that and $5 will get you the bust of Metropolis, Mr. Belker. I've been under a lot of pressure lately. I mean, with finals and extracurricular work for your father, and there are personal problems, too. I guess I shouldn't expect you to understand. And she goes, oh, hey, look, I mean, oh, Bert, maybe I overreacted. Maybe I was only thinking of myself, and maybe I'm sorry, too. Maybe Lana's going to be sorry. She's sorry. She says, I hope you'll let me explain it all to you, Lana. I could really use a friend right now. while high above. First the wench with the hair of flame shall be my consort, and the young mage who would oppose me shall be vanquished, and then shall Dr. Chaos rule. Meanwhile, Superboy says, could have sworn I detected the museum's burglar alarm with my super hearing, but it stopped suddenly. I wonder why. He gets back and he says, and there's a guard there, and he says, alarm? Superboy, I didn't hear no alarm. It's been quiet as a graveyard here all night. He says, that's odd. Did I imagine what I heard then? With that, the boy of steel leaves. But where he'd look behind him, he'd see how right he is to feel that something strange is going on here. And he says, for he would realize the guard he spoke to was only an illusion. But if he needs any further proof that anything is weird, he's about to get it. And he says, wait, Krypton, am I losing my mind? Because if I'm not, then how come all of a sudden the ground is where the sky ought to be? I hear your question, stripling, and the answer is all else is as it should be. It is you who are inverted. And Dr. Chaos kind of gives him the whammy. He says, consider a demonstration how even you are vulnerable to my magical power. Belker, in a costume and flying. You're mistaken, young one. I have been known by many names down the millennia. But that is not one of them. You may call me Dr. Chaos. That name most befits me. I like it better than any other describes what I am. One of the supernal lords of chaos, a master of all disruptive forces that disrupt the natural order of life as you know it. Soon I shall rule the realm of mortals. And you, Superboy, shall not oppose me. Yes, stripling, since our last encounter, I've learned much. I've learned that you are not a mage, but merely a physically superior mortal. He's thinking, whoever this guy is, he's telling the truth about having magical powers. The helmet is not lined with lead. I could see into it earlier, but now I can. He's found a magical way to block my X-ray vision. It is now you who have much to learn. Come closer, attend me while I speak of your destiny. With the smallest of gestures, Chaos lifts the team from Krypton skyward atop a column of water. And he's like a water fist holding Superboy. He says, I can't break free. You must know that my superpower is useless against magic. I do. But even so, you are the only being in this realm who could even remotely threaten me. Therefore, I command that you exile yourself from Earth for all time, lest I destroy all that you hold dear. Meanwhile, the Lang House, she's standing out on the porch with Bert Belker. Who, as we can see, seems separate from Dr. Chaos. She's saying, I like you, Bert, I really do. You're a little flaky, but I like you. And he says, well, by now you know the feeling's mutual, right? And she says, right. And he says, then maybe we'll have a chance, a better time some other night when I'm not going through so many heavy changes. Till then. And they kiss. And she says, Lana, are you okay? And she goes, I'll be all right. My pulse may never be the same again, but the rest of me is terrific. Good night, evening. Thank you for a lovely... good night, evening. Thank you for a lovely Bert. Oh, yeah, see, she's really out of sorts. And she gets in and sees Professor Lang in his smoking jacket. And he says, uh-oh, I know that look in your eyes. Some little lady thinks she's in love again, doesn't she? Lana, I'm talking to you. Meanwhile, Superboy's still in that water fist with Dr. Chaos. And he's saying to him, you think you can just snap your fingers and I'll jump through hoops for you? Sorry, Hydrant Head, it isn't going to be that easy. See, that seems out of character for Superboy. But anyway, the guy says, I thought not. Therefore, I have cast spells over all this place you call Smallville. Continue to defy me and all natural forces shall be thrown into chaos, lest you doubt such a thing is possible. Observe how easily I transform water, meaning the water fist, into flame which grows as beautifully and brightly as my consort's tresses. He's gone, magically, vanished, leaving me with a head full of questions like, who is his consort? And what did he mean about throwing natural forces into chaos? But that's okay, because there's more bigger problems to deal with. Magical monsters are bursting out of the pet shop. We've got sort of giant-sized well, everything. Yeah, so this is not good. He says, wait, now I get it. They're not monsters. They're mutations of ordinary pets. The product of evolution run wild. It must be the first natural force my new enemy has thrown into chaos. And in Smallville, in seconds of Smallville's Lindbergh Field, gotta lock up those creatures before they tear up the entire downtown. The trick is finding a cage large enough. He grabs a hanger, an airplane hanger, and says, well, this hanger will fill the bill. And so he basically gets that over he lifts it out of its foundations, and he's saying, what in the world are they? Where'd they come from? These other people are looking at Superboy do this. they say, whatever they are, Superboy looks like he'll have them under control soon. They're very sure of their Boy of Steel. Presently, after confining the mutant creatures in the hangar, so we don't even get to see that happen, and some guy says, Superboy, some guy in a weird costume just flew by here. You think he had something to do with this? Says, I certainly do, but don't worry, I'll handle him. But I can't assault him directly because of his magic. So I'll need Professor Lang's help. And he shows up at Professor Lang's doorstep, and now Professor Lang is wearing a completely different jacket. And he says, Superboy? Sorry to disturb you, Professor, but it's an emergency. It's Belker. He must have broken into the museum and stolen that helmet. He says, are you sure? And he says, well, no. But something I've just seen wearing the helmet with a costume speaks with Belker's voice. It's distorted, though, the way it sounded at the museum when we all thought Belker was just fooling around. And he says, this Whatsits has magical powers and denies it's Belker. Crazy as this sounds, it seems that an alien entity inhabits the helmet and has taken over Belker's mind and body. But Superboy, I was just working at the museum this evening, and I saw the helmet in its case right where it's supposed to be. What you're saying is impossible. It certainly is. I just came back from a date with Bert Belker tonight, says Lana, and she says, obviously, Superboy, everything you've said is a pack of lies. Admit it. You're jealous of Bert, so you made up this ridiculous story to discredit him. And says, Lana, I don't have time to worry about whether you believe me or not. I know what I saw and heard. But suppose I give Belker the benefit of the doubt. If you did see him tonight, he's probably still on his way back to Metropolis. In which case, I'll be back with Bert as soon as I can. He says, I just wish I didn't have this feeling that everything happened exactly as Chaos had planned it. And I'm being set up for a very nasty surprise. I'm especially concerned about Lana. She's acting funny, but I can't put my finger on what's wrong. Great Krypton, the sun's come out in the middle of the night. And the sky's so weird. And then there's swirling colors behind him. He says, more of Chaos's handiwork. Judging from that mocking laughter, which he can hear, it's like the Joker's around. He says he must be somewhere nearby, concealing himself magically. But now I've got to find Belker, and in case he can provide clues as to what Chaos really is and how to defeat him. Because I'm going to need them, and fast. A mass panic is sure to result from Chaos's tampering with nature. And once that happens, I may never get another shot at him. Ah, there's Belker now. He spies Belker in his car. Superboy flies through the window with Belker. And he's apparently explained the situation to Bert. And Professor Lang says, Superboy, the sun, the sky, what's happening? Magic, Professor, like I was trying to tell you. And Belker says, that noise, it sounds like an earthquake. In Smallville? Incredible, says Professor Lang, who is now wearing yet another jacket. I'm just saying. So he gets the three of them on a couch and takes off with that, and takes off with the three of them on the couch. And Professor Lang says, look, only my property was struck by that quake. The surrounding area wasn't disturbed at all. He says, that's because Chaos planned it that way to terrorize us. And Belker says, we're lucky we weren't killed. He says, Superboy, says Professor Lang, if your theory about the helmet is accurate, perhaps there's some explanation among the artifacts at the museum. Let's go. And Superboy says, where are you going, Anna? I want to look in on the Kents next door. They were probably frightened out of their wits by that quake. And he says, good idea. You'll all be better off. So they go back to the museum, and Superboy says, that's odd. The night watchman's gone, and there's no sign of him anywhere. Never mind that, says Professor Lang. It looks like that entity you encountered really was wearing the helmet, because this isn't it. Oh, no. Says Professor, you're right. According to what I'm seeing with my microscopic vision, the metal it's made of was forged recently, which means this helmet is a fake. And while, as he's saying this, the guy, Belker, is looming behind Professor Lang with a big stone with some writing on it. And he bashes it over Professor Lang's head. And I'm accurate in that because the sound effect actually says bash. He says, Belker says, quite true, Superboy. And now that Lang has served his purpose in bringing you here, Belker, I don't know what you're up to, but whatever it is, you've got more nerve than brains if you think you can get away with it in front of me. Also true, Stripling. And then the head comes off, except that I am not Burton Belker. In fact, I am not anyone at all. Says, what in the name of... And there's chaos again. He says, this Belker never existed. Superboy was already merely a lifeless substitute, fashioned from inorganic matter and magically animated. He says, you again? And Dr. Chaos says, like the helmet, it was created to misdirect you in your search for the truth of what I am. Until the moment you could endanger my plans no more. That moment is now. Professor Lang is waking up and he's like, that blow must have dazed me. I heard everything. Sounds like what Superboy suspected is all true. But there must be a way to stop that thing. Probably up to me to find it. Meanwhile, outside, now Superboy's in a magical cage. He says, I guessed the truth, hadn't I? Whatever you are, was locked in that helmet. And he says, yes, for 5,000 of your years. It was Lang who unwittingly released me. When the boy, Belker, first donned the helmet, I was able to establish a fusion with his consciousness. But you removed the Azure helm before I could dominate him completely. Just, what are you? I told you, a lord of chaos, a being without beginning or end. There are many of my kind over the millennia. A few have manifested themselves to mortals as demons. We are without form or substance, and must take a host body to work our will upon the material realm. We have battled the lords of order since time beyond time, but I came upon into this dimension at a time when no lord of order roamed among men. Now, keep in mind, at this point in time, Dr. Fate was actually on a different Earth. He was on Earth 2, of course. Still, a wise mortal in the place they called Sumer found a way to contain my essence within the helmet I had fashioned and imprisoned me thus. And Superboy saying, in this cage, magical like everything else he does, I can't escape. As long as Chaos is occupied with me, at least Ma and Pa and Lana are safe. I think they've got a Superboy robot dressed as Clark, and they're all just sitting around having some tea, and he's saying, you sure you're going to be all right, Ma or Pa? And Pa says, according to what Lana says, Clark, that all depends on Superboy. She says, I'll take care of the dishes, Mr. Kent. Help me, Clark? And he says, in a minute, Lana. She says, that's very sweet of you, dear. And then they say, frankly, robot, you know, as soon as Lana's out of earshot, frankly, robot, I'm scared to death. It looks like the world's coming to an end out there. What if our boy can't handle that chaos character? I don't know, Mrs. Kent, or Mr. Kent, he says. The orders Superboy gave me by a super ventriloquism before Miss Lang arrived were succinct. I was to alert you of her arrival and inform you that I'd be taking Clark's place. And she's hearing now, my consort. It is time. And you see a big glow around Lana. And the robot saying, all I know of the crisis my master now faces is what I've heard from Miss Lang, just as you have. And she gets turned into a version of the costume, only it's with just like a big sort of upside down bucket kind of thing for the helmet. It's kind of goofy looking. And he says, the more I stumble into the... Or Superboy's trying to get out of the cage. And he says, the more I struggle about this thing, the weaker I become. Wait, that's it. It must be getting its power from me, draining my own kinetic energy. Got to use every ounce of super will power and slow down every movement of my body to a dead stop. And so he does that. He arrests his breathing and his every muscle slows, including his heart. Chaos finally lets him out. He says, I knew my prison could not hold you long before you deduced its secret, Superboy. It was merely a delaying tactic to allow me to prepare my final threat. Behold, my consort who will rule this, my new domain, who will rule this, my new domain at my side. And he's thinking, and so there's Lana in her outfit, and she then creates the view of into a warp into another dimension. And he says, yes, the realm of oblivion, into which my consort now sends Jonathan and Martha Kent. There they will endure unimaginable torments unless you do as I command. But the Kents are only the first to suffer. Pete Ross, who you see below, is next. All your loved ones, this very village itself, will know my wrath unless you leave Earth. And they all get pushed through this thing, and there goes... Lady Chaos, I guess. And Superboy says, the dimensional gateway closing and is creating weird obstacles to bar my path. The clouds, raining vegetation, giant snowflakes growing out of the ground. They're magical. I don't know what they can do to me. Gotta dodge them. And he keeps sort of dodging himself, and then he sees this big flame-haired beast as he goes through the warp after them. And it says, as the Smallville sensation finds himself locked in combat with an unearthly opponent, he does not understand. The ethereal countenance of Dr. Chaos magically appears to taunt him. And he's saying, no, now you leave me no choice, Superboy, but to order your destruction by my consort's demon self. So there you go. That is actually Lana. He says, demon self, a flame-haired demon. What was that he said about his consort having a hair of flame? That means that this creature is an alter ego unleashed from her mind. Maybe I can knock her out. Maybe if I can knock her out, I can break the circuit. Then the demon would be destroyed. And if the consort is who I suspect it is, I know just how to do it. Says Lana Lang has fiery red hair, hair of flame, and the Bert Belker Lana dated was a creation of Chaos who could have acted as a channel for his magical power and transformed Lana into the consort. And he says, Lana used to say my kisses took her breath away. I guess she wasn't exaggerating. So she kisses him to wake her up. Superboy kisses her to wake her up. She says, how dare you? I am the consort of oomph. And he says, it worked. She's out cold and the demon's gone. Got to use her against Chaos now, and I haven't much time. Must get through the warp while there's still room and hope that there's some way I can return to that dimension later for Ma and Pa. Huh? Professor Lang? Says, Superboy, I found Chaos's weakness. It was in this hieroglyphic sample. I've been working on translating it since you left the museum. And now, only minutes later, he says, no, so, son of Krypton, you have escaped the realm of oblivion. Last chance. Abandon Earth or perish with all you love. He says, don't try it, Chaos. I have your consort. Kill me and she dies too. Naive fool. Her life is but the smallest of costs to gain a kingdom. They're out front of the Kent's general store, and he says, all right, Chaos, gasp, you win. The Kent's trapped in another dimension. My friends are your prisoners. Smallville in your grip. I can't take anymore. I'll do it. I'll leave Earth forever, even if it means condemning humankind to be your slaves. At least there's a small chance they'll suffer less that way. And the guy's he's jazzed about this. He says, the idiot, humankind has not yet begun to suffer. It has not yet begun to pay for my millennia of imprisonment. But now I have fulfilled my every dream. I have victory. I have a world and all the time in it. And Lana wakes up in her armor and he says, maybe Chaos. And he says, what? She says, but what you don't have is me. And then she goes and he's saying, what is the meaning of this? You are my consort. How dare you defy me? And she says, right now, and then they get like a noose around him. And right now, Chaos of Palace Revolt is the least of your problems. Professor Lang told me that the alloy encrusting the helmet when he found it was largely copper. According to the ancient inscription, your magic is powerless against that metal. And thanks to this copper electrician's cable from Kent Store Hardware Department. Oh, there you go. Melted around the helmet with heat vision, the Chaos entity is now trapped inside it once more, and Bert Belker is regaining control of his whole mind and body again too. And Lana says, did I do all right, Superboy? Just fine, Lana, he says. It's lucky you came back to consciousness so quickly as yourself after I kissed you, but I'm lucky you trusted me and left to go along with my plan. And even though there wasn't time to explain what was going on, obviously the effects of Chaos's magic were reversed when he was imprisoned. Once I lock up his helmet, he'll stay away. And so he explains this and says, and all right, so off goes Professor Lang with Bert. After Superboy has found the time to explain what happened to Lana and Clark, and he says, come on, son, you could use some rest. And Superboy asks her, so Lana, about you and Bert, and she says, let me put it this way. Remember what you did to break Chaos's spell over me? Do it again, now that I can enjoy it. And he says, I guess that answers my question. Bum, chicka, bum. That is the end of the issue. So next month, it says, can it be? It is. Clark Kent, grooviest guy in Smallville. Oh, yeah. Plus, a strange encounter. Well, that sounds great. All right, so there you go. See, I told you it'd be kind of short. And I'm just trying to see if there's another page there. Sometimes they... No. All right. So that's the issue. That's the whole thing. Weird that they used the Dr. Fate thing, but I can understand, given that the Pascoe was probably working on that series with Giffen at the time that this issue came out. So it kind of makes sense. And it's kind of interesting that there's an opposite number of the traditional Dr. Fate in the Superboy universe. And so anyway, that is it. So comments, as always, are welcome at legionofsubstitutepodcasters@gmail.com. You can join the conversation on our Facebook page, which can be found at facebook.legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. In addition to all those things, we are also on the Twitter. I missed one of the many things. And in addition to all these, you can head over to our website, legionofsubstitutepodcasters.com. And we will see you all next week.